You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast,
Zephyr started her turn and became paralyzed. Buggles paralyzed.
Very bad.
It's time for the queen. She looks at Gek. Give me a will save against dominate.
Oh, no.
No. God.
She wants you to move right to the edge of the pit.
Oh. Oh. Huh.
Gek, where are you going?
Ah, ma'am. She wants you to hurt Brother Ramius with one of your spells.
Come to me. You need to make a fortitude save.
Oh,
fortitude?
Sorry! You critically failed. You're also deafened.
Deafened for 1 minute.
The zombie peels off, comes towards you, and attempts to shove you into the pit.
But I'm doing what she wanted.
Dude.
So you get pushed in, and you are hanging from the edge. Zephyr, you're back.
She's back! Like
bursting at the fucking seams.
Yeah.
Athletics check against your fortitude DC. I put you into the ditch.
Grab the edge.
Right next to
Gek. I stomp on your fingers.
Yeah! Stomp, fall!
She yells at this other one. I am going to attempt to shove Zephyr in. Natural 20.
The adventure continues now.
Had a milkshake.
Ooh, I love milkshakes.
You like a milkshake?
Love them.
Mm.
Love them.
What flavor? Like a black and white?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Oh,
okay. Jamocha. They used to have Jamocha when I was a kid at McDonald's.
Jamocha.
Which was
Jamocha coffee and chocolate.
I think it was like coffee, right? And chocolate. Yeah.
Oh, I do love a coffee ice cream. So that as a milkshake is delicious.
Yeah. Coffee.
A Jamocha, is that just the McDonald's version of like an affogato?
I guess. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah.
Jamocha. Like, I think it's a play on Jamaican. They were big in the 80s.
Jamaicans?
Jamaicans.
I remember. Yeah.
They were all over the place.
That's true.
John Candy was in a movie.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like they were really big.
No, they won. They were in the Olympics and...
Francis is losing his mind.
Yeah,
back there.
I remember, yeah. It was a country on everyone's lips.
They're like, let's call it a... Jamocha. Sounds like Jamaican. They'll buy it.
This was actually pre...
I think it was at Arby's. I'm looking at Jamocha, and it's an Arby's thing.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
That sounded familiar to me. Yeah,
the Jamocha shake. Arby's.
Coffee and chocolate.
My dad worked for Arby's. He didn't work for Arby's, but he was a restaurant supplier, and one of his biggest client was Arby's. That was actually... Huh. You know, they have those like orange chairs in Arby's. Those like orange chairs that they have at the tables. Those were our kitchen chairs. We got them free from Arby's.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had Arby's chairs.
Somebody's cacked the recipe. 3 cups of vanilla ice cream, 1 cup of cold coffee, 1 cup of milk, 3 tablespoons of sugar, 3 tablespoons. Three tablespoons.
You looked at me and said
tablespoons. No wonder it was delicious. 3 tablespoons of chocolate syrup. I mean, you can't beat that.
Sounds delicious.
I could order one for pickup on Route 22 in New Jersey.
Oh, my God.
They still sell the Jamocha shake?
Jamocha shakes are at every Arby's.
Wow.
Let's go. Man.
We all have to try.
Wow. Ooh, McDonald's shakes were always good. I mean, you look now and it's like, oh, that's pig intestines. But like they're delicious.
Non-dairy gum-based beverage.
Yeah, it's
non-dairy gum-based beverage.
But I'm a giant milkshake guy. Love milkshakes.
Well, here's the thing. You go out for ice cream. Like we go out for ice cream, you know, once every week and a half in the summer. Once the ice cream place near our home opens, we take the kids every time. No one's a bigger ice cream person than me. I'm the ice cream guy.
You took us out for ice cream that one time.
Love ice cream. And the you sit down, you're like, all right, you never get a frap or a milkshake. You always want to get ice cream, but I'm always tempted when I see the flavors because they can make a milkshake out of any other flavors.
Yeah, I'm in the same position. I never eat. I never get milkshakes.
You always get ice cream.
Yeah, because whenever I'm at an ice cream place, I get ice cream.
I'd rather have a milkshake.
You go get a milkshake.
I just love the continuous act of like drinking it.
Yeah,
of them.
Yeah.
Frap. You guys say frap or milkshake?
I don't know.
You know
what
the difference?
Saying. I've never heard that.
Before. Yeah, I knew when I said it. I was like, I don't think they.
I thought
know
you were saying
about.
Something short for frappuccino.
To me, a frap is like with blended ice, and a milkshake is like hard ice cream with milk.
It's definitely a Massachusetts thing.
It's a Massachusetts thing.
But the way we distinguished it was like a milkshake is with milk and syrup, and a frap is with ice cream and milk and syrup.
Oh.
So a milkshake you could make with just milk and fucking, and here's your milkshake, whereas a frap had ice cream in it.
I want the ice cream.
Yeah. Well, Friendly's, ever been to Friendly's? They do fraps. You get a frap.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, Friendly's, yeah.
I had, in the 90s growing up, we had these things at home where we could make our own milkshakes. It was like a plastic cup.
You were alive in the 90s?
And it's like a plastic cup.
99?
A little bit. A little bit
December
alive.
December 1999?
Caught the tail end of the Clinton presidency.
I remember these cups. They were like these, they almost looked like the shape of old milk bottles with like a little bottleneck. Mm-hmm. And they came apart in the middle. So you would take the top half off. You would scoop the ice cream in.
Okay.
Push them back together, pour the milk in, and then it had like a cap on it, like an old milk bottle. You would like shake it up like a margarita shaker. And then when you opened it, it had like holes so you could like slurp the ice cream milkshake through it.
Interesting.
And they were, I don't know, it was like, were milkshakes really popular in the 90s? I don't know.
They were popular like when our parents were children. Like that was the thing.
We would make them 50s. At home, though.
Malteds, egg creams.
Yeah, we had Ovaltine in the cabinet. My dad was a big fan of like Ovaltine malted chocolate milk mix. Mm-hmm. But I would make milkshakes at home all the time. And I preferred it over just eating ice cream.
I was going to say, did you put ice cream in there?
Yeah. Ice cream and milk. And you would just shake it. Milkshake. Okay. I'm from New York. This is a milkshake.
Delicious sounding fraps.
but I love milkshake. I agree with Skip. Yeah, the convenience and just it's nice
just have,
to.
It's a guilty pleasure. You know, it's always funny to me that everyone's so fit and thin in Los Angeles and they're all eating cheeseburgers and milkshakes. I imagine they just all throw it up.
From In-N-Out?
Yeah, they go home.
They throw it out afterwards. Because like there's all diner culture is big in LA and In-N-Out. It's like you get your double cheeseburger and a milkshake and then you force yourself to throw it.
Well, they all have gyms in their garages and stuff.
That's true. That's different.
And they don't drink 100 beers.
I feel like you're poo-pooing milkshakes altogether.
Yeah, they're way too thick.
Too thick?
Thin it out with more milk.
THICC?
No. Gross. I don't want to drink my ice cream. I like a Sonic Blast or like a McFlurry. Like at that point, it's just ice cream. You're not sipping that through a straw.
Blast.
It's a soft serve with chunky stuff in it. It's ice cream.
What's the Wendy's
one? The only
one?
Time I like liquid ice
frosty.
Cream.
Frosty.
That's frosty.
Only time that's still kind of like a milkshake.
Too thick?
Well, that's thicker than even a normal
milkshake.
It can't
just be ice cream. But the only time it's okay is if you have ice cream in a bowl and you mash it up and you make ice cream soup.
Ice cream soup.
Yeah.
It can't be melty, though. It needs to be just soft.
Soft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once it melts, it's no good.
I like milkshakes. I like ice cream soup.
Okay.
And I like
how about soft you, like soft serve ice cream. What about soft serve?
The devil's ice cream.
Yeah, but only for a second because it melts.
It does melt quickly. Yeah,
it needs to have like sprinkles on it.
You know what you need? The fucking dip.
Dip.
Cherry dip.
The hard
chocolate
shell.
Dip.
Ooh, yeah, I love the hard shell.
Yeah. Again, though, I go to Dairy Queen. I'm getting a Blizzard, even though I know
every time
their cherry dips are fucking lights out.
I wouldn't get anything other than a Butterfinger Blizzard given the opportunity.
It's Blizzard. Insane.
Best thing
you must go to Dairy Queen Blizzards. Every day of the week if you go to Dairy Queen once and don't get a Blizzard.
Right. You must be sick of Dairy Queen.
Yeah. You must be so disgustingly sick
which is
of the greatest ice cream treat of all time.
Ever. Which is insane because a Dilly Bar, delicious.
Yeah.
But when do you get them to go? Because you're not going to not get a Blizzard immediately. Yeah. My wife doesn't understand my love of Dairy Queen. We drove by yesterday. I'm like, we got to go. She's like, well, you just keep driving. I'm like, I'm not going to pass two. So if we see another one, I'm stopping.
This is God telling us.
Kids are like, Dad, we don't want ice cream. I'm like, it's not for you.
And we don't have any in the city.
No, there's one in Union Square. Oh, not Union Square, but 14th Street on the west side. It was a big deal when it opened up.
Is it still there?
What? Let me go to maps.google.com.
Is it still there? Because I thought we lost all of them. We're
all on maps.google.com right now.
We lost all of them.
I think we lost them.
There were no survivors of the Great Dairy Queen War. Did they get rid of it?
I'm almost convinced that they all...
Oh my God, the worst casualty of COVID.
When I search for Dairy Queen in Manhattan,
I get two hits. McDonald's and Five Guys.
Wow. Oh, that's not the same thing at all.
I'm sorry, Wendy's.
It's gone.
And Five Guys.
Yeah, it's not showing. It was on 14. I remember the day it opened. I was living in Queens. I sat on a train for 45 minutes to go there. Anytime I had an audition in the area, middle of summer, I'm like, I guess I could walk a couple
blocks. What's going on? There's none in any of the boroughs here.
No, there was only one in Manhattan. And
there's one in Staten Island.
That doesn't count. Ew. That's basically New Jersey.
I think it's at the ferry station, from what I've heard.
It's disgusting.
My brother used to go there.
It is. It's right there. Yeah.
But they have them in New York. They're in
You
know, there's one in Wappinger Falls. I got to drive 45 minutes to go to Dairy Queen. I'll do it.
Wow.
I'll do it.
I have a Dairy Queen
for us this summer.
Oh, I know.
On the interchange of my town.
Right
like
when you
go on the highway. So every time you go anywhere and every time you come home, you're greeted by a Dairy Queen.
That's incredible.
Very hard to not go
there. I would 500 pounds.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what'll keep you away, though, pretty decently. It's like coming off the highway on a summer evening at like 8 o'clock, and there's just 50 people in line.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. That's no good.
Yeah, it gets very crowded.
Growing up, did you have like a mom and pop ice cream place in your town?
Carter's.
That you would go to?
And then I worked at
you worked at the
I worked at JC's, which was John Cena's parents. But Carter's in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Well, it's really in Bradford. That's like people come from all over. But ice cream, I don't know. I guess it's big everywhere. But growing up, I always felt like you go down to like, because we're close to the beach.
Yeah.
So like if you start driving towards the beach, there's other places like Hodgie's where you get like, can I just get a quarter kitty? And it's 9 scoops. That's their whole thing. But the closer you get to the beach, just ice cream stand, ice cream stand, ice cream stand. And everybody's got their own. But growing up for me, it was Carter's.
We had the dugout. And it was like shaped like a baseball dugout. That's and it fun. Had all this baseball logo on it. It was very cute. I think it's out of business now.
What was yours? Rocky Mountain Creamery?
Lickety Split.
Oh, great name.
Great name.
It was right downtown. Another like big family place. I knew a lot of people who worked there.
Sure.
That was a big, like, great job for high schoolers, yeah.
Okay, what was yours?
I'm looking up right now to see if it still exists, but it was Elkins. I don't know, like, how...
Not a fun name. Is that the name of the
proprietor? I don't know how local it was, if it wasn't, like, a franchise
Did
or not, but that
local?
Was the one that we went to.
Did it feel Elkins? Local?
I don't think I knew what local was then.
Fair.
It's what I remember
going
to. Do
they have two flavors?
L-Kens.
Oh, well, that's a little bit fun.
Yeah.
L-Kens.
L-Kens.
I thought it was, like, elk-like.
L-Kens?
Elkins.
That doesn't Elkins. Sound American.
What about like Stewart's? Yeah, like Stewart's though.
Stewart's is
No. The Times Union demolition takes last bit of Elkins restaurant.
Yeah.
Wow.
2016.
No.
I thought it went down.
Oh my God. Yeah. What'd they do with all the ice cream? Joe, what was yours called?
Well, I had, so the main one by that was closest to me, I think, was Jack Frost.
Oh, that's fun.
Another good name.
Jack Frost was good one. And then, but then we considered it
the Kens.
But then we considered it local, like when I was in high school and stuff, was Rita's.
Oh.
But now that's everywhere.
Rita's?
The Italian
Rita's Water
Ices?
Ice, yeah.
Oh my
I didn't
God.
Have Rita's chain. I didn't have Rita's till I was
30. And I was like, I feel like Rita's is a Philly thing.
I thought it was like a Long Island thing.
It's a Pennsylvania thing.
And I just looked it up, and it was created in 1984 by a former Philadelphia firefighter who used to do an Italian ice business on his front porch in a suburb of Philly.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, it was a Philly thing. So, yeah, we would that was like where you'd hang out in high school and stuff.
We got a Rita's near us, and I didn't have it until I was 30. My wife grew up in Hershey, Pennsylvania, so they had it all the time. And you get the gelati, which is half slush, half soft serve.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's like water ice with soft serve on
Nobody
top.
Nobody calls
of it.
It that. It's Italian ice.
Italian ice
with soft
water.
Serve.
I mispronounced it. It's water ice.
Water ice.
Dollop on top.
It remember slush like, puppies?
I remember
slush puppies.
I remember going to Italy
and having slush puppies.
And people being like, we got to get gelato.
Yeah.
And me being like, this isn't water ice with a scoop of soft serve on it.
Wait, how old were you when you had the snafu?
In my 30s.
Gelato? You didn't 30s. Know what gelato
No, I had never had like gelato. No.
Wow.
Buffoon. Such a culinary buffoon.
Dude. I didn't have Mexican food until I was in college. And it was Taco Bell.
Tell me when someone recommended gelato, you went, is it weird? What is it? Is it like water
is it
ice?
Weird?
Is it
stracciatella?
It sounds terrible.
I got gelato probably 8 places on this block that have pretty decent gelato.
Anyway, I had it and it was very good.
It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Slush puppies though. Remember?
I've never had a slush puppy.
Never had a slush puppy.
No, we used to drink. We used to get Slurpees a lot.
Slurpees.
Get 7-Eleven Slurpees all the time with McD.
Oh, I remember my first Slurpee feeling high afterward. Yeah. Someone told me
it was like the Simpsons episode when they get the all syrup squishy.
So much sugar in it.
Yeah. Remember, I stayed at my buddy's house in high school and we watched a wrestling pay-per-view and his dad had the Spice Channel. And so we watched the wrestling pay-per-view and then he would be like, check this out. Divorced parents. So dad, who knows what he was doing? It's like, check this out.
Ben, there was no bigger jackpot than having a friend with divorced parents.
Yep.
Man, you get to clean up.
My friend Steve, he lived with his dad. He was divorced. I mean, his place was insane. He had like four video game consoles.
Oh, yeah.
Which was like crazy in 1992 or whatever it was.
You get one of them.
I mean, the walls of video games, just like bookshelves filled with Nintendo cartridges. It's like, this must be heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven's voice.
Loaded with, it's not your fault gifts.
And the dude like had to work. And so he just leave us alone all the time. And he would just like, you'd eat whatever you want. There was always junk food in the house. And then like watch.
No mom there to police you.
Dude, rated R movies.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was very, very crazy. Strange, but we drove to school the next day.
I wish my parents would get divorced.
Then I guess so two lucky Christmases.
That's where we had the Slurpee. The story wasn't as good. Yeah, Slurpees are good. Slush puppies. We had a slush puppy machine at my high school. So if you had like a lunch thing, you could go like cherry slush puppy. They were really good. You know, speaking of Dairy Queen, Mr. Misty, so good. It's like a slush drink.
I never heard of that.
Oh my God, Mr. Misty. They might not even make it anymore.
Isn't that what a slushy is anyway? It's a slush drink.
Mr. Misty is a nostalgic name for a frozen treat, specifically a slushy-like drink offered by Dairy Queen.
Never knew that.
Sorry, not either.
Damn right it's nostalgic.
It's because you just order a Blizzard when you go there.
Yeah, I know, that's the thing. Well, we would, after baseball, like our coach once in a while be like, going to Dairy Queen if you win. So we'd get in the back of his pickup truck all unbuckled, just like driving to Dairy Queen. Different in the 80s.
These three beers deep.
three kids fly out of the flatbed like on the highway.
And we'd get there and he'd be like, whatever you want. And at that point, you would be going to Dairy Queen sometimes three times a week. You'd be like, you know, I'll get the Mr. Misty this time. But yeah, otherwise, why not just get Blizzard. Dairy Queen, if you're watching, we're accepting sponsors. We'll be back right after this.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Are you looking for a movie review show where the critic is at the top of his or her game, meticulously breaking down and explaining exactly why a film does or does not work? Well, good luck with the search, because we're having fun here on Adam Does Movies. Each and every week, I hit the big blockbusters, I cover the streamers, and I even toss in some movie news for fun. Check out the show on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, and hopefully, we can do movies together. Hot.
Hi, I'm here to tell you about Good Morning Night Vale. Welcome to Night Vale's official recap show and unofficial best friend food podcast. Join me, Meg Bashwinner, and fellow tri-hosts Hal Lublin and Symphony Sanders as we dissect all of the cool, squishy, and slimy bits of every episode of Welcome to Night Vale. Come for the insightful and hilarious commentary and stay for all of the weird and wild behind-the-scenes stories. Good Morning Night Vale, with new episodes every other Thursday. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, even there.
Folks, we're back! I want to thank our sponsors that I just mentioned pre-break, Norse Foundry.
Norse Foundry!
The Dairy Queen of dice manufacturers.
That's what they call them.
Like we said, all those options, right? All those crazy options you know about. The Hydroscale dice we talked about recently. Bouncy scented dice. Which we're recording this so far in advance, but they must be out now.
And I'm sure they smell great.
They smell amazing. Collectible cans and such. The Hydra dice come in eggs. unique egg cases.
Oh, that's fun.
I know. It's just so they're very clever with their offerings.
They have a Butterfinger Blizzard flavored dice.
That's a great idea.
Buy them all.
Butterfinger Blizzard scented dye.
It'd be so hard to not eat it.
I know. I just want to start chewing it.
I just start eating it. Like I couldn't a toddler get, I just couldn't start get shoving the dice in your mouth.
And of course, Foundry Virtual Tabletop. Everyone but Kate will enjoy that this week because her pawn is no longer on the map.
I don't know what you're talking about. Stop I'm going to live it. Forever. Where'd you guys put my character?
We haven't had a three-ep Comboni in a while.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, the combat's not even over.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. It was like 2 hours long. I tried, but there's just a lot going on here. You've whittled these enemy forces down to just, what, three?
Two.
Just the queen and the killer.
One boss and one little bodyguard, yeah.
Oh my God, that's crazy. You left one, and you haven't even really dealt with the queen yet. She's just flying around, buzzing, having her minions do all her dirty work for you, and it's working. Dominated Gik. Gik is still dominated, by the way. Made her walk towards the edge so one of her Black Frost zombies could push you over, and then it's just stomping on you, trying to get down. Miss. What a well-timed miss. And then I feel as if this has been Zephyr's story since day one. You come in and do something heroic to save your friend, and then you take the brunt of the damage. Because when you go up to the edge to kill the zombie that was harassing Gik, that would have almost certainly got you this next round, while the queen is just holding you at bay, you push that one in, and then the last remaining zombie comes up and crits you. You fly 10 feet and into the pit. You fall 150 feet.
Oh my God.
Wait, take 75 points of damage.
Oh, that's it? Well, I also minus 10 feet because of catfall and I get rolling landing.
Oh.
So I'm on my feet.
Oh.
Are you conscious?
Oh, yeah, are you okay?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm still alive.
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. There's no rule on catfall that catfall like over a certain point
allows you to cushion. Treat falls as 10 feet shorter. Are you an expert yet in acrobatics?
Trained.
Trained. All right. If you're an expert, it'd be 25 feet shorter, 50 feet if you're a master. You're legendary. You always land on your feet. Might be something you want to work towards if we continue this campaign. All right. So that's going to be 140 feet. And then what's the other thing called?
I have a rolling landing.
Rolling landing. And that works for 140-foot drops.
land with quick rolls that help you keep momentum if you fall and don't take damage.
Oh.
Let's just skip that part.
Also, so catfall, you just take less damage. It doesn't say anything about not going prone, right?
No, if she was legendary, then she would land on her feet, is what he said. But yeah. She has to go prone.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to be, yeah.
Yeah. So you take 70 points of damage.
I'm fine.
How are you, though? Are you...
Let me just...
Because you got healed.
I've been much worse.
Sheesh. Gik thinks you're fucking dead.
It's like, ah! Darkness.
Zephyr, no!
And you hear...
Poof. Oof.
I'm okay!
Echoing up the canyon, I'm okay.
Badly burned. Zephyr is down. She's taken 70 points of damage. She's lying on her back at the bottom of this pit. There is a Black Frost zombie next to you in this pit. Oh, boy. It is. I don't even know what's going on in terms of the actual combat itself. It is the... Oh, wait, that zombie, that was... First action was go over there. Second action was push you. Third action... It closes on Gik.
Would it even know I'm there? I mean, how smart is this zombie? I'm hanging on the edge.
Hey, it's just closing on that area. And now it's easy.
I just want you to be honest.
How convenient.
I want you to be honest so you can sleep at night.
I sleep comfortably.
Okay.
1.5 hours a night.
Sounds nice.
And I toss and turn the other seven. It is the queen's turn.
She still gets turns?
I know.
It's the third week she's had a turn.
So dumb. Yeah.
It's the third week she's had a turn. Man.
Don't.
You two are the targets.
Stop.
You two are the targets.
Don't.
Okay. Well, I should be honest here. So she...
Yes, please.
She delayed Gick's turn. I don't think I can just delay you indefinitely.
No, you have to.
She can.
No. I wonder. This is what I'm saying.
During a round, I'll have to eventually take my turn.
Well, it's interesting.
Oh, save.
It's interesting. You take forcing if you are...
You can delay and never take your turn.
Really?
Yeah.
The controller dictates
for us.
But for dominate...
Or even delay, it says.
Yeah, it does. Oh, okay. It does specifically mention that.
Or okay, even so delay. Then and then could. Delay, you wait for... I just want to make sure. You wait for everyone to act. The rest of your turn doesn't happen yet. Instead, you're removed from initiative order. You can return to there as a free action triggered by the end of any other creature's turn. I, of course, control that. This permanently changes your initiative. You can't use reactions until you return to the initiative order. If you delay an entire round without returning, the actions from the delayed turn are lost, and your initiative doesn't change, and your next turn occurs at your original position in the initiative order.
Okay.
So I can, yeah, just have you delay right permanently.
Okie dokie.
Well, maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. Maybe I won't.
I'm hanging, literally.
I do wonder, though, like, yeah, it's an interesting conundrum you bring up. Professor Eric, weigh in.
Yeah, it's interesting, because like...
Because she would get a will save every
round. You get the
round.
Will save at right. the end of your
so, yeah,
turn.
When does like, the will if you save have a, occur? If you have a yeah. dying roll, you can't delay.
It does seem right? a little like, OP to never let me roll out, even though
that's
I...
The thing.
But it makes
that's
sense true. In
but
that like you're dominated.
It's also not hurting us either. It's tricky.
You're dominated. You're not making any like opposing psychic like moves that would make you roll that save.
Well, except, just, well delay except is, making her delay
is
an
is
order.
A move.
Yeah.
So
is that that's interesting. That's interesting.
It's a yeah. bit of a conundrum.
I am curious if there's a ruling about it because from the wording, seems like you can just
you
do
just,
it.
Yeah.
But that seems a little.
Is there
strange.
Is there otherwise a time limit on
a duration?
How long a duration? Yeah.
Is it sustained?
Oh, that's a good question.
That would be an important detail.
That is a very
important
detail.
Oh, yeah.
You would have had to sustain
that. The duration is until next time you make your daily preparations.
Is it?
Oh, so it's a whole day.
Is it sustained, though?
No, probably
the duration
not.
Is...
No, the duration is...
Wow, that's a hugely powerful spell.
That's how it is in 1E. That's like...
Yeah, I mean, it's a sixth rank spell. It's meant to be a game changer, but it does seem like you can game the system by making you delay indefinitely. It almost makes it worse than critical failure. Yeah. Well, for now, it's going to have you delay. And then... Oh, boy. This is a real tough position to be in. Hate to see your friends hurting. Hate to see it. I know I hate to see it. But I have to play her the way she's meant to be played. Question is, if I want to really drop some ham here, or just I'm going to do 1, 2, 3 Ramius, 4, 5, 6 Buckles. Two Ramius. Okay. Good news is I have to fly. No, I can get to you one. All right. So she flies down to you and she lands next to you. And she just goes to punch you. Natural 20.
Stop!
I
same die.
I just can't take it.
Same die as last week. Now you knew it was going to come back around. You knew it was going to come back around. Oh my gracious, she is a named character, of course.
Oh, shit.
Let me get something from Boston, Massachusetts. Give me a real asshole. A real mass holio.
God, I can't believe you just roll fucking crits on me every single time. This one's from Shocker, Tom in Boston.
Tom.
Shocker.
Hi, Tom.
Of the 70 Toms that submitted crits from Boston. I wonder if he knows
I wonder
who
if
he is.
Isn't that Mount Tom in Hampshire Valley is named after him?
Maybe. This one is called Your Turn to Suffer. Pain is just weakness leaving the body. Scratch that. Their pain is weakness leaving your body. Double damage, and you become immune to one of the following conditions. Your choice.
Me or you?
You.
That makes more sense.
For 1d4 rounds. Clumsy, drained, enfeebled, stupefied. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll take drained.
Okay.
Take drained.
So you're drained one. It's not that bad. Could be worse.
All right. Many, many things are about to happen. Let's start with the damage. I can't even say a couple things. It's a lot. In terms of damage, you're going to take... Oh, man. 52 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh.
Just make sure I got that right. No, excuse me. 46. 46 points of bludgeoning damage and 12 cold. That was bad.
Did you roll another 6 on cold for me?
I did.
Jesus Christ!
So
stop!
58 points of damage.
Stop!
With this critical hit, this can only happen on a critical hit. She hits you in such a way that the wound that is created by her fist creates this unnerving, blackened appearance on your skin.
Oh, no.
That begins to spread. It's almost like an advanced form of frostbite or charring that starts to, like, rapidly spread across your body. And you have this moment of dizziness, presuming you're still standing up. I shouldn't presume that.
Yeah, I'm still standing.
You're still standing up. You have this moment where all of this blackness around you, all of this black frost that didn't bother you at all as you walked through this, now it almost feels like it's itching at your skin. And I need you to roll a fortitude save.
27.
It's a fail. You're lucky that wasn't a critical failure. However, you will take 12 more points of cold damage as you have been inflicted with black frost rot.
God.
Boy.
What is this?
It is
poison?
A curse, a disease, a killer. And she is then, with her final action, going to close on Buckles. It is Brother Ramius's turn.
He's already sick enough. I barely get by without having a horrible frost rot disease.
It's the last thing he needed.
Talk about a bad day.
For real.
Someone has a case of the Mondays.
I mean, the amount of rolls that have to go exactly in that order. Just hate them. I hate dice.
It's almost like you have bad luck or something.
Unbelievable. Let's see if we can have it continue. It'd be great. I am going to...
I don't know if I can watch this.
She just moved up to Buggles.
Yep.
Stayed on the ground. All right, he's just like... and he looks up and he sees her going over to Buggles and he knows he's going to die. This is it for him.
You imagine that whatever has happened to you, she's going to do to Buggles.
Yeah, so he doesn't want it happening to Buggles. And just if it can be the last thing I do, let me save him. And he will fire a two-action heal at her.
Okay.
So I need a fortitude save.
All right. Looks like she's frightened. I don't know why.
She is frightened.
From the demoralized.
Demoralized.
Oh, right, right.
Demoralized. Okay.
That's why I wanted to get a spell off on her this round. So I was like, please don't hit me. At least I was up.
Fortitude save 30.
Come on. Come on.
God!
It wasn't a great roll.
I know, but it just sucks. I just really need, like, a big turn, you know what I mean? And I just can't fucking get it. All right. So that is... half damage is 33 points.
Larry.
Okay.
Okay.
And then he will...
Ring.
And then he will use an interact action on himself to draw from his vital beak. Okay. So I will heal him myself 4d10.
I can't believe you stood up after the crit.
Yeah, he's standing there. He's just like, Eva, stave this off as long as you can. And his divine healing is going to bring his hit points up. It's not going to do much about this disease right now. Let's see if I can get some decent healing. Nope. 16 on 4d10.
Buggles is no longer paralyzed. He is still frightened by being in her order, aura here. He's standing next to the queen. What do you do?
So he sees her closing on him. He's like, yes! And he invites the Kulakan.
Yes! To emerge.
It's like, boom, like the minute she gets up to him, just boom, this explosion of this aura. And as a matter of fact, I think... No, I can't do it. His aura emerges and poof, he's going to attempt an ignition, an amped ignition. Like right.
Amped ignish.
Okay. That is a 35 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay.
And she seems to be, if I remember, she's weak to fire.
I think so. So this is 47 points of fire damage. Actually, 48 points of fire damage.
48 points of fire damage.
And
my God.
And 2 points of cold damage.
48 points of fire. She is immune to the cold. She takes the 48 points of fire damage and the 10 from being weak to fire, and she falls.
Yeah! Oh my God! Wow, I had no idea she was that close.
Yeah!
Wow. With the chipping.
The Kula John.
Away.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, huge.
Okay.
That was only your first action. There is one more enemy. Gik is hanging from a ledge. Zephyr is at the bottom of the pick. Gik is also dominated, although I don't know. I imagine that goes away now that the dominator is gone. And Ramius is like got black crawling up his neck.
Okay, and with his last action, he is going to whip around, like look at the last zombie, and do a Psy Burst at it.
Oh, Psy Burst?
Okay. Gonna need a Fortitude save, please.
Fortitude save from the zombie, 24.
Okay, that is a fail.
Okay, and that's not mental energy, right?
It is mental. Well, no, I'm gonna do bludgeoning.
Okay.
And it takes 19 points of bludgeoning damage.
It had 17 hit points.
Yes!
Awesome!
God.
Awesome!
Yes!
If that we weren't paralyzed, insane. It would have been different.
Yeah.
Wow. Buggles. One man wrecking crew.
And, like, he lifts his little hands up to the sky, and this, like, fire just, like, erupts from his body, consuming the remains of this queen. Cool. It's like... this vortex of fire. It's like, and eventually it's like he's suppressed and Buggles comes back to himself looking down at the smoking corpse of this.
Amazing.
Alright, let's... I'm going to take you out of initiative here. The reason I'm being cagey about it is this affliction that you have is about to move on to a new stage.
That fast?
Yes.
You need to start working on yourself.
I thought it was a disease.
They all work differently. They all have different times between stages. So I just want to see what, if
anything...
How
long between stages?
You have a minute before it's going to go to the next stage.
So start working on yourself.
There's nothing you can do.
No.
You can't do anything.
Like cleanse
I mean,
affliction.
I can just heal myself.
Yeah.
Remove disease.
You don't have that?
I do. And it takes 10 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Damn.
It's a rank 4 spell.
I also want to just point out, because we might get some write-ins from Professor Eric. With the delay, there's no way that Dominate would be that OP in the wording of delay. When you delay, any persistent damage or other negative effects that normally occur at the start of end of your turn occur immediately when you use the delay action.
Oh, so should we get the save?
That's fair.
I should have gotten a save the minute you forced me to delay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting.
You could read it that way.
Which is an interesting take, but it makes sense because if I'm taking
action. That's
actions,
an order.
Yeah.
It's an order.
Give me the save. I'm just curious
if I would have made
off
it.
Or not. Yeah.
Same. Natural 13. Might not have. My will is an 18.
Oh, yeah.
31?
Yeah.
31 is DC 30.
Then it would have been a crit success.
So you would have had a chance to climb up. You're climbed up.
Which might, yeah, I'm climbed up.
You are.
And everyone's dead.
It was your turn next. So you found that within time had Buggles not finished the fight.
But she looks at Radius after climbing up. What happened?
I'm coming.
Where's Zephyr?
Hold on, I'm on my way.
Ramius, give me another save.
Ramius.
Hold on a second.
Give it to me right now.
Buggles.
Shut your mouth and you're talking to Steve.
Gick runs over to Ramius. Buggles.
She's dying.
Help him.
Oh, man.
I'm like reaching in my pack. I have a healing potion lesser. You need this?
I don't think I have anything.
Okay.
Dump.
Yeah. So, sorry. I was speaking in pre-remaster. Dump. So, remaster is cleanse affliction heightened to fourth level. So, it's cleanse affliction. And it's just two actions.
Okay.
So,
okay.
It's fine.
So we're
this is crazy.
So you're basically going to get two saves.
I could be wrong on this. But
choose an affliction on a target such as a curse, disease, or poison. In this case, it is a curse and a disease, but I think for all intents and purposes, you're trying to cleanse this thing. Yeah. So you're going to get this save, and then you're going to get the end of 1 minute save, should you fail this one. So you get two chances.
So we're staying in initiatives? Because I'll harmonize myself.
Oh, yeah. You're down at the bottom
just
of the
thing.
Just
in case something happens.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk this through, because there's a chance. Cleanse affliction, if you biff this, does it advance the stage? I don't think so. I don't see anything here that says
no. It's just a counteract check.
You're just trying to counteract it.
So yeah, counteract checks. So, I think the worst thing you can do is just fail
critical fail. I don't see anything here that says you would go further, but on the second check, should you not cleanse this affliction, you would go to stage 2 on a failure, stage 3 on a critical failure, and cure it with a success. But maybe you could just cleanse it.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. Attempt to cleanse affliction. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything. It is a... What is the... This is what I'm trying to figure out, is... What is the counteract check?
What do you mean, the DC?
No, like, what do I roll? I was just assuming I'd roll medicine.
Add a relevant skill modifier or other appropriate...
Oh, so that would be relevant skill modifier, right? I mean...
Medicine.
Yeah.
The other one would probably be my spell attack, like, bonus. The power of my spells.
For spells, the counteract check modifier is your spellcasting attribute modifier plus your spellcasting proficiency bonus plus any bonuses and penalties that specifically apply to counteract checks.
Yeah, so that would be my spell attack roll number.
Okay.
So what do you want me to do?
Give a roll for that.
What, my spell attack number? Whatever that is.
Whatever that is.
Counteract number.
Yep. And if you succeed, you're cured. If you fail, then we're going to roll a regular fortitude save.
And I'm... Okay, and I'm no longer frightened.
Nope.
Although, probably am.
Right. Trick it in your boots.
Okay. Sorry, just checking multiple things here to make sure everything is correct. Mundo. Okay. Okay.
What's interesting here now, for counteracting, there's degrees of success.
Yeah.
So, success, counteract the target if its counteract rank is no more than one higher than your effect's counteract rank. Roll my eyes. Failure, counteract the target if its counteract rank is lower than your effect's counteract rank. I feel like this stuff...
Basically, it's her level divided by 2, I think, rounded up.
But in Cleanse Affliction, the success condition is if it's advanced past stage 1, reduced by one stage. If it's past, if it's stage 1, you cure it. Okay, so I think the DC is the DC of the spell.
Okay.
Or the effect.
The effect.
Yeah. The counteract, there's more nitty gritty for counteract, but that's when it's spell versus spell.
I'm just stalling.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah,
you got two chances here.
He feels like this Black Frost is coming over him. He thinks of the elf that was at the top of the temple, Findladlara. He sees himself becoming this weapon for Osoyo to weaponize against his friends. And he's like, Kipa, take me if that's going to happen. And he will cast Cleanse Affliction. 36.
Oh!
You're clean.
That's wow!
It came!
Joe.
It came! Oh, I've been waiting for that role for so long. And as he prays and says, like, take me instead of making me become something that... Because, I mean, he feels like Gandalf right now, right? Not to put him on too high of a pedestal, but like... But through
I think
me,
he's better than Gandalf.
But through me, it would work. A powerful, too great and terrible to imagine, right? Yeah. He imagines himself unleashed on his allies as a pawn of a sword.
Yeah.
How powerful he's become.
I dare not take it.
And he just... And the blackness just starts to seep back into where the initial punch was. Slowly dissipates until he... And then he just collapses on one knee, then one hand on the ground, and then on an elbow, and then finally to his side. Just... And then I'll call out with what energy he has. Zephyr!
Zephyr! She's 25 feet up the wall. I'm coming!
Oh, thank you, Keeper.
Not going to make you roll all the checks to climb.
I can climb really fast because I have 40 feet of movement.
What if she critically fails five feet from the top?
Shut the fuck up, Joe!
Not interested.
Not interested. God. I don't want to play that game.
Nope. Throw a rope.
We have all that rope.
God!
As Brother Ramius falls, all of the creatures are on the ground. Quendia is down. That eerie wind that was infusing the spire starts to dissipate. All of those corpses that were just living a minute ago or revivified, they start to like freeze instantly. Just like ice forms around them. Ice starts to form around Aquendia's like partially mummified body. As the wind around the spire stops, the fissure nearest you and all of the fissures around like erupt. The whispering sound just becomes thunderous. All of these voices overlapping just like boom starts to shake you. Everybody give me a will save from all of these voices. Like you feel it behind you, Zephyr, like pushing you up.
Are we still frightened? Is there still an aura?
Nope, the aura is gone. Now it's with the
full,
with
like, full fetal position, holding his hands over his ears like, no, make it stop.
Oh. What did you get?
31.
31, Seth?
28.
Also 31.
19.
All right, so you're stupefied one for a minute. Critical failure would have been stupefied one for 24 hours.
Oh, that would have been horrible.
So that will go
away. I wouldn't
have
been able to unleash my psychic.
Yeah. Brutal. You'd have to, like, stop, although you may still have to. At the same time as that happens, cracks start radiating out along the spire's length, just like... And while they look ominous at first, moments later it becomes obvious that they're layers of black frost that are hardening into flakes that just... And it starts raining black snow.
Oh, it's like Chernobyl.
On you. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
You're just looking up. And now, Ramius, you... Thus far, along with your allies, have been immune to this black frost. But something in that critical hit from Aquendia has made you unimmune for a certain period of time. You see this starting to fall down. What do? You have a chance to try and like get away from this.
Is there any shelter in visible range? Anywhere? Anything to duck into?
There's some like hollowed out buildings that the doors have been ripped off of.
Where?
Probably about 50 feet away.
Okay. He's going to like stand up. He doesn't say anything to anybody, but he just feels it, and he's so low on HP. In fact, I'm going to take an action to suck another thing of Vital Beacon from myself. That's 4d8 healing as it slowly decreases in power, in potency, and he'll attempt to just like start running the 50 feet to wherever he sees cover to get out of this snow, quote unquote.
All right, you dive into there as the snow just begins to fall all around you.
He's pulling his feet in, pulling his legs in.
And it keeps going. It looks like it is constant with no end in sight. Give me an occult or even a religion check.
Religion's good. 33.
Yeah, you feel like the power of her hit that forced this on you. As you look down at your skin, you see it like ever so slowly retreating as you cleanse the affliction. So you feel like whatever she did that made you unimmune to this black frost will eventually go away, but it's going to take 24 hours.
Oh my God.
Otherwise, the second you step out there or come it's in like contact with black frost, you're going to have to roll to get cursed again. Roll against the curse.
Oh my God.
Your allies are standing out there, the black frost snow falling.
It's just like Chernobyl.
And you're looking out the window. We'll be back right after this quick break.
I've ruled out uni because I want to live at home.
I've ruled out uni because I want to earn money.
I've ruled out uni because of my grades.
Study with the Open University and there's no need to rule out anything. With our respected degrees, you can learn from home and work alongside study. We're open to all. Plus, you'll have the support of expert tutors. So rethink your future with the degree you didn't think was possible. The Open University. The future is open.
There are some things you'll never understand. Like, why did that person ghost me? When did manspreading become socially acceptable? And how come that dinosaur theme park keeps reopening, given its safety record? But some things you can understand. Like your Experian credit score. The more you improve your score, the more you could save on things like credit cards, car loans, mobile contracts, and more. It's dead easy to check and completely free. Download the Experian app and check your score today.
It's ticklish business any way you look at it. Come on, we'll stick together.
Love movies? Love classic movies? So do we. Ticklish Business is the podcast where classic film is discussed in modern times. Hosted by me, film journalist Kristen Lopez, and my co-host, author Emily Edwards, we dive into the golden age of cinema with fun, heart, and serious expertise. As published film historians and lifelong classic movie buffs, we bring insider insights, deep research, and lively debates with a variety of special guests, ranging from celebrities like Holly Madison to TCM luminaries Dave Carver and Eddie Muller, and even family members of old Hollywood legends. Subscribe now to Ticklish Business on your favorite podcast app, and let's talk about old Hollywood today.
If you're an artist out there, draw that scene. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Oh,
just
man.
You alone in this like frozen hovel.
Yeah, on his side, like on his hip, leaning down, trying to get his feet out of the edge of the cave as it's blowing in.
Desperately seeking shelter from this radioactive snow.
Yeah. My God. I was thinking of Chernobyl going into the break, and I was just like, the idea, it's just amazing in the HBO show. Have you seen it? Have you watched Chernobyl?
No. Wait. Yes. With Jessie Buckley. She's in it, except she's got really curly hair, right?
I don't know who Jessie Buckley is. I don't think
Chernobyl Jessie Buckley. Show.
Jared Harris,
the blonde
in it.
With the curly hair.
Yeah.
It's Jessie Buckley. She's a great actress.
Stellan Skarsgård's in it.
She's fantastic.
She's like unrecognizable in it though, because she's got that crazy wig on.
She's so good.
Devastating.
Very sad story.
Devastating.
Like I think about that show. Kate, you love it?
I didn't watch it.
I think
not
about
a movie. It's a TV show.
And in one,
a long movie.
Anyway,
six episode movie.
In part of that show, just being near it, obviously, like a nuclear, meltdown. There's just these moments where, like, someone has to tell someone else, basically. No, I mean, now we're going to die. Like,
yeah,
it might not be for 10 years, but we're going to die. Mm-hmm. Just from being within miles of it. So he kind of has this feeling, like, just even being near the snow as it's like hitting the ground he's like, it's going to kill me.
Well, there's that literal scene where it's like it's falling, the ash from the fire is falling, and everyone is just like standing out on the bridge, not realizing what it is.
And they're laughing. They're like,
laughing. It's just, yeah.
And the end of episode one.
Yeah.
And it's so chilling because it's just like you know exactly what's going to happen to all of the people.
And you see some of those characters later. Like, you see that it happens to them. Like, you see a couple on the bridge and like they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, they straight up are dead.
Yeah.
Well, you can only imagine in this moment seeing, having experienced actually being affected by this curse, this disease, this rot, if a Soyo were able to return and spread this throughout the world, that the world would have no chance.
Yeah,
when you think of these Lovecraftian, Cthulian type entities, you know, we all have our own idea of what that would be like. Do they just eat the world like Galactus, or do they just start raining down pain? No, you realize here that in this case, it's something much more insidious. They can put this out there and turn the world into Ilvaris or Ilvanis, you know, turn the world into just these.
Poison the world
with this
effect.
Ugh. With ease.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's in there.
We also have the yurt. Do you want us to...
We should erect the yurt.
Yeah, we can... Do us to erect the yurt for you?
So you come to the cave?
I mean, we shouldn't just leave you.
Samankara has. It's been a giant bed.
You come to the cave and he's bloodied. He's beat up. His skin is frostburnt, like all over his face and his neck. And he's just like sliding slowly, like away from the opening.
What has happened?
He's just like, come in. Stay out of the snow. Stay out of the snow. It's going to kill you.
This doesn't do anything.
Ramius, it's okay. Are you still frightened or something?
She did something to me.
I made an angel.
Don't do that!
Get out of there!
I feel sick.
I'm playing that, you nitwit! It's going to kill you!
Ramius, if you think it's going to hurt you, we can put the tent up.
I don't think it's going to hurt me, Gick. I know it is. She did something to me. Something that... She undid something. Her soil, he... He did something to us when we were here before. He blessed us. Or cursed us in his way with his own protections against that black snow.
She took it away.
She took it away from me. If I step into it, I know it's going to come back. I can feel it.
Okay.
He's just like rubbing his forearm.
Okay, you don't have to. We won't. We think we could all use a rest for a second and figure out what we do next. Here, I'll put the tent up. I'll put the tent up. It's okay.
Yes, I mean, perhaps erect the earth near the cave.
Can we erect the yurt in the cave? Is it that big, or is it just a small
Or just
opening?
Like put,
you
put
keep
the,
saying
the
cave.
Opening.
It's a house.
I'm sorry. Oh. Apologies.
Sort of like an airlock, just like put the door like right up against
the door.
You are, so you can.
Yes, put it up there. I'll come to the yurt. I need the fire. I'm so cold.
Starts pulling up the
ropes.
You
took a lot of cold damage.
She ties it all up. And the entrance is right near the door to this house.
All right. He'll like. Walk up near the edge of the house and then just like run into the yurt. Try to not get a flake on him. And
I'll run in after him, start the fire in the center.
I'm sorry. I couldn't take them down faster. I was calling for the keeper's blessing and he felt, I don't know, far away. As if something about these spires is keeping out all that is good in the world.
This is a strange place, an evil place. We've won the day here. Yeah.
And I just like grab some furs and like put them over him. Put a kettle on the fire.
Oh, bless you, Buckles. Thank you.
I don't feel well. You see a blackness going up Hubert's neck.
Oh, no.
Crawling from his exposed neck.
Hubert, you were not here before. He was not here before. This is what I'm saying.
Vulnerable to it.
He cannot be exposed to the snow.
Why did you go in the snow? Why he told you not to? Stupid mouse, sit down. Don't touch anything. Ramus, can you help him?
So cold.
Is he going to turn into a thrall?
I will try.
I can't cast that again today, so...
Convenient.
I can, I can treat affliction, perhaps? Is that
no,
a thing?
Please. Keep that butcher away.
Treat disease. I'd
rather die.
Let me die in peace.
Die from this curse.
Is
cursed by your hands.
Is he, like, losing hit points?
He lost a bunch from stage one and went straight to stage two a minute later, which makes him weak to cold five and drained one.
Come near the fire.
In a day, he will roll again to see if he gets to stage three.
All right, come near the fire.
I would presume you will not let me treat his disease.
You could. I wonder where it's a curse.
Right, so that's the question. This is under
I feel like
the
cleanse
action.
Affliction is meant to do that, but I feel like you can you'd be treating the disease but not removing the underlying curse. You would, I think, the curse supersedes the disease. You need to remove curse.
It ameliorated some of his symptoms, maybe without abolishing it.
Yeah. So there's really nothing that won't do anything. It's really just. Oh, actually, a success, it grants him a bonus to his saving throw against the next stage of the disease. So you could either allow that or not allow that and have to wait for Cleanse Affliction.
I think he'll wait for Cleanse Affliction. He's not going to die. He's just...
He very well might. I mean, I still have to pass the roll the next day on the spell.
Yeah.
And if I fail it, he could die that day. You know, anyway. Yeah.
I think where it's a curse, I'm not going to let you do it. It's more interesting with the story to have him be... No. I've made it this far. I'm sure I can...
This one is...
Keep going.
This one is beefy. Treat disease. You spend 8 hours treating the disease creature. Treat disease is no joke.
Oh.
And, but yeah, this is a curse. All right.
It's all right, Hubert. It's okay. I'm going to pray, prepare, and...
Actually, I can prepare multiple castings of it. I would take away some of my offensive capability of the next day, but I could attempt it a couple times. And, yeah.
Gik will also go up to Hubert and kind of touch his face and look at him.
Curse me again.
Stupid mouse.
And she's going to sing...
named Hobbit Curse.
No, I'm not fucking halfling.
Jeez. I get hair on my cheeks.
She's going to kind of pinch his little ear. She's going to say,
come this way, soothe your pains. Let hope take its place, see your face, take it away.
And she kind of rubs his head and she's going to soothe and give him back some hit points.
Nice.
And like a cat, she's kind of like rubbing his little spot by his ear. And you'll get, what will you get? You'll get 11 hit points back and a +2 status bonus, to mental effects, yeah.
Thank you.
Don't eat the snow.
No. I won't.
And Gik kind of peers out the flap. So what do we do?
Well, first we rest. I need sleep.
And this is, he's saying this after a couple hours of working on everybody with treating wounds, including himself. So... Well, I'm just going to hand wave it and use assurance to just sort of slowly but surely get everybody healed up. But I want to sleep here and wait 24 hours, prepare spells to heal Hubert, and wait to see if this diminishes. Or no, I'm saying after 20. You're saying after 24 hours, I will be immune again.
Yeah, you'll be immune again.
Temporary.
That's your what you feel
risk. Yeah. Gotcha.
She did something to like trigger this.
To temporarily diffuse the... Yeah. Okay.
Of course. Hubert does not have that protection.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with
him. He would
him.
Just have to stay in the yurt. I mean, or stay in the house.
We'd have to leave the yurt here with him while we went and did whatever we were going
to do. But that's good, though. We're not trying to travel over land anymore. We could always just come back to the yurt.
Yeah.
Having spell slots to heal him is like a waste. It is.
Wow.
He's a.
What did she say?
He's an asshole to all of us.
Hearing's going.
You helped him. He's so mean to you. He was mean to you while you helped him just now.
I know, but I can't let him die.
I'm not saying let him die.
If we do nothing, he's going to die.
I must try. I must try.
I think I see my mother.
He's hallucinating.
Tired.
This is typical of the second stage of Black Frost Rot.
Parental hallucinations.
Advanced stages of.
You've been watching a lot of The Pit.
Yes. Fucking love The Pit.
Also known as the best show on Terra.
It's fucking amazing. It so got me playing Project Hospital.
All
right.
So you wait.
We wait.
You look outside, constantly watching.
What happened? I'm not even going to peek my head out.
So okay.
I'm not going to ask my question yet.
All right, so, but the others aren't. Gekka's always mentioned. She's looking at the flap. You're resting. You're taking turns resting. The next morning, you look out, and the snow has stopped. You know, and by the next morning, I mean 24 hours, whatever, has stopped. And the wind that was whipping That's around was the temple, that shell is gone. The temple is
so
open.
So now we can approach.
Now we can approach. And odds are, if Asoyo is, you know, conscious or approaching that level, that they are very, very mad at us.
It's understandable.
Yeah. All right. With a night's rest, I will prepare one additional for Hubert. Before setting out or anything, I'm going to try to use the cleanse affliction that is housed within the prayer beads.
Oh, you're kind, Brother Remus. You don't want to save those spells for the horrors that we'll face inside this temple.
No, Hubert. No. Don't focus on that now. Focus on fighting this thing.
I know I'm not easy to get along with, but you've always shown me kindness. And, for that, I thank you. And my mother thanks you as well. And she, is about to, pass. She was most worried about me not having anyone to look over me and keep me safe at the time I didn't understand what was happening with her. Then when she didn't wake up, I soon realized why she was so fearful. I've done pretty good for myself, I'd say. Now travel to your world and mine. Other planets. I guess what I'm trying to say is if perhaps it comes down to saving yourself or keeping old Hubert around, I'll understand if you need to let me go. Sure, I'll find a way. I always do.
It's not going to happen, Hubert. You need not concern yourself. The Keeper is on your side now, and he will see you through it. And even if he doesn't, even if this doesn't work for some reason or another, just know we will not let it come to you being a creature, a pawn of this Asoyo. I will make sure that you visit the halls of the Keeper, that you are praised there for the hero you are, for the sacrifice you've made on behalf of all of the souls of our planet and others. And he will attempt to cleanse affliction.
Oh, Hubert. You son of a bitch.
Why can't you roll a natural one on
38.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
38 is almost a critical.
Oh, wow. I was so close. Natty 19.
So it moves him from stage 2 to stage 1.
Stage 1.
He immediately takes 46 cold damage. And so he feels himself no longer weak to the cold, but gets this like icy cold blast through his heart. And he said, I think it's better, but I feel so cold. So cold. He's no longer drained, no longer weak to cold 5, but he did just take more damage.
We throw the furs over him. It's like, make sure he's getting by the fire. Take a little, the kettle, like pour him some tea.
Yes.
Yeah, drink up.
So what's the plan?
Help.
So wait, my knowledge of this curse, does he have now another day before he would have to roll again? He also hasn't rolled his save.
Yeah, so now he's at stage 1, and now he'll roll against it to see if he goes cure or falls back to stage 2.
But if he's stage 2, it won't tick again till 24 hours.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to be hard for him to kind of like putting a Band-Aid on
Yeah, he's going to have to roll out of it.
Yeah, he's going to have to roll out of it. Natural 5. So he just, boom, goes right back. What is happening to me?
I feel as if we've bought you time. But I know it's very painful.
So cold.
It may take some time, but soon the healing will work.
I feel so tired.
You must trust that.
What is the plan? Where are we gonna go?
So
yurt only works once a day, so you can't like
stay here all day.
Let him chill in the yurt.
Buggles pulls Gikmok aside and says,
he's not strong enough for this. I don't think he can survive the disease.
Hubert?
Yes.
We can at least get him into the tower with us. I mean, maybe it'll be better in there. It's better than out here. The yurt's not going to be able to stay through the morning, and then... I mean, what do you think?
Take him with us. It's no choice. Either that or leave him somewhere here to die. Perhaps there's something to find within that could help him. Take the chance on that. But as it is, I don't see him living another day.
I'd rather give him a chance than just leave him. Even though he's so fucking annoying and so mean sometimes.
Nothing but a burden. Horrible, horrible person.
Help us and just eats the rations. But
he is still one of us. He's alright.
I mean, we've done so much wrong. It wouldn't hurt us to do a little right thing. We're in agreement then? We won't leave him to die?
We'll take him.
Okay. And I'm looking at Hubert, who's just like sweating and shivering by the fire. What does Zephyr look like?
She's watching you two talk over there. And she's like, rolls her eyes, looks at Hubert.
We're nodding at Zephyr.
She's like, I don't know, mindlessly wrapping her hand wraps around her hands over and over again. She's taking them off, wrapping them again, waiting to leave.
We can't leave him here?
The yurt only works once a day, so we would have to leave him like outside,
or in the house, or in the
abandoned house,
ruin,
yeah, in the ruin,
in the cold,
the doorless cold.
Oh no, it's not snowing anymore, so he can come with us.
Right, but I'm just saying it's just dangerous. Like,
yeah, it's always dangerous. He's, you know, but he always comes with us anyway. The affliction doesn't affect that, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry, Hubert, but if you can walk, we have to go now. Yes. You must come with us.
Maybe I could ride on one of your backs. The snow is pretty thick here. I don't want to get it on my toes. Whatever is happening to me could get worse. Could I just wrap my legs and parts around your neck?
Of course. Yes, you can climb on my shoulders. You seem very light.
Yes. So
let's give it a try.
Sorry about that. I get a little aroused on a meal.
Oh, Hubert.
I apologize.
What is that?
Right in the back of my neck.
Oh, Hubert.
No,
your hair is moving.
Yes, it's mostly pee.
Oh,
what?
It's warm down my back.
So sorry. It's hard being me.
Zephyr smugly looks at Buggles and Gik. Nods.
Nice up here.
At least he's not on your back.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want.
Great. Great.
It's mostly urine.
Mostly just urine.
Oh, that's it?
Mostly.
It's just urine, Ramius. Don't worry. They said it was just urine.
Mostly.
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 Mostly. Don't touch it. All right.
Wash your hands, Ramius.
It's mostly urine, but anything else, I don't know.
Let's go.
All right.
Off to see the wizard.
All right, let's go.
All right, we head out toward the central John's.
For you, just trudging through this black ash up to your, like, ankles, Hubert, on Ramius's neck.
It is cool, just, like, this horrible, deadly substance that we all of us happen to be immune to.
Yeah.
Just kind of, yeah, wading through it.
Just wading through it. It would destroy populations.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Scoop of this, you could just go destroy a village.
Yeah.
You now see what Queen Equendia became that made Riddleson so jealous. You approach the first and last temple of Akakaru. It is a solid mass of stone blocks stacked high and covered with these plates of black basalt. There is a short, like, foyer hallway at the base of this hexagonal pyramid that ends at an immense set of stone double doors. You see handles have been carved directly into the doors and positioned at a height of about 6 feet. These are doors for Salman Carr to use. Mm. You know, at least beings twice the size of most of you, and much larger than Hubert and Gick. The entrance to the temple. Let's go to the map.
Oh,
yes. Don't cheer.
Don't cheer.
It means bad things.
Let's go.
I just want to see it. I want to see it so bad.
Never wanted to just roleplay more.
Imagine we all died and we never got to see the inside.
I know. Oh. Think about that.
Think about that.
That.
Oh. Oh, boy. It looks so ominous. Jeez.
Oh, man.
Oh, I hate it already.
Oh, no.
Zephyr, wait.
Zephyr, come back.
Zephyr, no.
I want to see what's on the side.
Wait. No.
Where are you going?
I'm quitting the fucking party.
Always have to look around. Oh, is it a giant hexagon?
You're so tiny compared to this.
Oh, my God. We're like slipping across the ice. Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right,
enough.
Enough fooling around.
So just walk in the front door?
Yeah, just through the door, I guess.
Should we knock?
We open the door.
Wait.
Someone's got to do what Matthew does.
Check it for trap.
Fuck that.
No one's got to do that.
So boring.
Just open the door.
Just open the door.
All right, open the door.
I click open the door.
Whoa.
Yeah,
dude, you're like, boom, we're here.
The fuck is a so-yo?
Oh, so-yo.
Oh, so-yo.
So-yo.
Where are you at?
We should start, like, disrespecting the pronunciation.
Disrespecting.
Of his name.
A so-yo.
The Eldritch
so-yo.
God. You walk up to open the doorway, and you hear your own voices enter your minds like an inner monologue that you are not in control of. You hear your own voices talking back to you, saying, telling you to turn back, go back. What are you doing? Go home. Let it go. Wind seems to
go, man.
Blow the ash around you, leaving a clearing here in front of the door.
Oh, that is my former self. That is he who went beyond the gate. I'm different now. I've changed.
I always have an inner monologue screaming at me in my head. This is no different.
I know what I must do.
And I know not to listen to my inner monologue, yeah. So let's kick that door open.
Shagunk.
You open the door.
Oh, an anticlimactic door open.
You open
it's a vestibule.
You open
to
it.
Another door.
And in 10 feet, there's another
door.
10 feet away. Another door.
And I'm running through.
Small little hallway, pitch dark inside. The only light coming in from the open doorway.
Ramius is going to hold on. One moment. He's going to close the door behind us.
Wait, let me.
Sealing us in the darkness.
Oh.
Then he's going to cast light. And he'll cast 3 balls of light. One that hovers over Zephyr, one that hovers over Buckles, or over Gick, and one that hovers over him, over Ramius.
Gick, Buggles, and Ramius. And what is that, 10 dim, 10 bright?
40 dim, 20 bright.
40 dim, 20 bright on Ramius, Gick, and Zephyr. Yes?
Yes. Sorry. I can have up to 4, but I think 3 is good for right now, just in case Buggles wants to be in the darkness. He has the choice.
Can see in the dark.
Oh, this looks so cool. Just yeah, like this is cool. The shade.
Yeah.
It looks like artificial.
It looks like an incandescent light.
Yes.
It's so perfect.
incandescent is, that's one of those words that, like, it's not like I've never heard it before by any stretch. We've talked about this recently. It's not like I've never heard it before. Certainly no incandescent bulbs, right? Incandescent light from a candle or whatever. But for whatever reason, that term incandescent, I've heard it used like 50 times in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Really?
I keep hearing it. Yeah. It was when I was doing the science project with Gwen, where she was doing like gem color stuff. There was all the stuff about incandescent light versus off stones versus whatever. And then, like, I was at Home Depot and saw something. And I was just like, I keep getting this word.
It is weird how a word will follow you for a while.
Yeah. That's... When you said it, you're like, it's like it's incandescent. I was like, this word is following me. God, I still love this Brother Ramius art. Going back to
it, is really John.
It's just so good.
Yes. Almost as good as Gix art.
Yep, that's exactly what she looked like
Nombard?
When I described her.
I changed them all to ghostly light. The anime is, it's a little too active, but
that's pretty cool.
I can slow
though.
The animation.
I can slow the animation.
Super slow.
Let's see if I go down a little bit, just there's cool a little Flavoni.
Just a little bit of the ghost dog.
I mean, this is the stuff that now that we don't play with, you know, minis and maps anymore, just being able to screw around on Foundry VTT and like. Have a little bit of fun. So now, if you
it
look,
is really cool. Just thinking back to having the Chessex mats,
yeah.
And like being able to do effects like this is very cool.
If you zoom in close, you'll see there is a little bit of movement.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Ghostly light.
That's awesome. Perfect.
Another door standing ahead of you. What do you do?
Zephyr reaches out.
Actually, I'm going to do a quick perception. Just right, just before she opens it.
Ramius puts his hand on your arm.
Yeah, natural 20.
Natural Ooh. 20, a little perception.
Perception, just for any immediate traps on the door, basically. While looking over her shoulder.
You do not detect any traps whatsoever.
Go.
Zephyr reaches out, opens the door.
Your light spills out into the next chamber, and so awesomely, like it doesn't light Whoa. The whole room. Even the dim light only goes to the extent of your vision. So,
but I can see past it because of my dark vision.
She slowly walks.
You have to tell us.
She can see stuff at the end, but she can't. I can't tell quite what it is. So she's like slowly walking into the room.
All right, so pause there, and I'll give you a little flavor. See how far you want to go in. There are two rows of stone pillars. Supporting a 60-foot high ceiling in this chamber. It is a large hall. There is a stone door set into the wall to the west, while further down sits a large abandoned sledge. And the top of it is heaped with
oh,
ropes.
Oh, that's what we did.
That's our sledge.
Yeah.
Ropes, canvas sheets.
The salmon car. That's how we... We're transporting it, right?
You recognize it immediately. Yeah. There's additional pieces of Arctic travel and exploration gear lying in discarded heaps around the sledge, canvases and ropes on top. It looks pretty well used, and it's clear. You see like bits of white fur clinging to some of the ropes. You tied up Einamorin, put him on this sledge, covered him in canvas, dragged him here.
I feel like when Zephyr first walked into the room, she saw like a bit of what was up there. But then once she realizes what it is, like the memories come back and she walks like right up to the sled.
You walk right up.
Oh, shit.
To the sled.
This is the sled that we used.
Oh, my.
Is there anything here that we like left?
You look around and, the sledge is not the only familiar object you find. Near it are several discarded items that you remember being gifted by people, beings that were working with Asoyo at the Temple of Findalad Lara. You are given these magical items as part of the process of abducting Einamorin and bringing him here. And these treasures were left behind when you were transported back to the Temple of Findeladlara after the deed was done. There are 4 items. 1 for each of you. They are 10th level magical items. And I'm going to let you choose what they are. But you see them, you recognize them, and they're yours to use.
Wow.
Oh, you mean we can pick from...
I'm going to let you
the
pick.
Books?
Yeah. Wow. The books?
The books?
10th level permanent items.
Wow.
Wow. I can't possibly pick now.
No, no, you have some time.
Okay.
Time. OMG.
Think about it. Think about what 10th level item, you know, they mention, a good choice for a spellcaster is like any of the greater school-based staves or a wand of widening that lets you widen 4th level spells. Good choices for non-spellcasters include worn magic items, things like rings of greater cold resistance, although you pretty much have your cold covered. 10th level magic items, you pick.
Wow.
Whew.
Amazing.
However, as you start examining the room, in addition to that door to the west, there is a swath of black frost caking a 15-foot archway in the furthest part of the room. I would call it the northern part of the room for safety's sake, although you can feel from this sort of magnetic energy around you that you are as north can be. But the northern part of this room, mappily speaking, is this archway that has strands of what look like black frozen spider webs stretching across the opening, partially obscuring the view of a trapezoidal-shaped alcove beyond.
Do we want to go in that room to the southwest?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a door on the south, on the western wall of the room, the entry room.
Then, of course, to the left and the right of the this alcove that looks like there's something beyond the spider webs there, there are stairs leading up, like 2 passageways to the left and right. But you approach the door to the southwest.
Yes, just inside where we came in.
Okay.
Go ahead, Zephyr. Well, quick perception. That's a 27 on the door for traps.
You don't see any traps. You don't hear anything.
She opens the door.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, there's a lot more doors in here, you guys.
Oh, boy.
The door, again, your light spills in. The dim light spills all the way to the end of this hallway. There are doors to the north and the south of this hallway, which about 50, 60 feet towards the end turns and goes up to the right. They remind you sort of what it was like under Riddleson's manor, that room with all the cells.
Yeah.
Are
the doors opaque?
They
closed room doors, or are they cells?
They're cells, but they're not like
bars.
They're meant for larger creatures, so they're like the bars themselves are very, very thick.
Let me see inside.
Yeah, you can see inside the ones nearest you here to the north and south, and then there are 2 more up ahead.
Zephyr walks up to the south one and looks, or the north.
You look up to the southernmost one and the northmost one, and inside they're identical. They're like they have an ancient-looking bed of furs and a frame. The bed frame itself is made out of bones that have been like lashed together with sinew.
Oh.
This is very Blood of the Wild.
Oh boy. Yeah. Should we keep going?
Does it look like there's anything in these? Like, is there...
It's funny you should mention that, because as Gick steps forward away from the pack, Gick looks into the northernmost cell and sees a being lost in meditation. A being that looks
he like this.
Oh, no.
What the hell?
Oh, no.
It is a Salmon Carr in name only because rotting from its body is exposed flesh, muscle, rib cage, huge horns coming out of its head, muscles dripping down, bits of fur exposed with exposed skin underneath, and it's in this like meditative pose, and you look to the south and there is another one of these creatures to the south, and they both open their eyes and look at you. Think about those 10th level items and we'll see you next week.
Oh my god, baby.
My goodness.
I love this kick just alone seeing these two things. Like,
guys?
Looking to the north like, that's not good. And then to the south, another one immediately like,
that's even worse. That's not good.
It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Niche at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself and see what everybody's talking about when you join the Niche today.
Are you looking for a movie review show where the critic is at the top of his or her game, meticulously breaking down and explaining exactly why a film does or does not work? Well, good luck with the search, because we're having fun here on Adam Does Movies. I talk to you like we just got done seeing a movie together, giving you the pros and cons, and I'm digging in the trenches, in the mud and muck, on streaming services, telling you which films are worth your time. Each and every week, I hit the big blockbusters, I cover the streamers, and I even toss in some movie news for fun. Because this show is Adam Does Movies. I'm obviously Adam, I probably should have led with that. But perhaps I have led you to check out the show on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube. And hopefully, we can do movies together. Hot.
Hi, I'm here to tell you about Good Morning Night Vale. Welcome to Night Vale's official recap show and unofficial best friend food podcast. Join me, Meg Bashwinner, and fellow tri-hosts Hal Lublin and Symphony Sanders as we dissect all of the cool, squishy, and slimy bits of every episode of Welcome to Night Vale. Come for the insightful and hilarious commentary, and stay for all of the weird and wild behind-the-scenes stories. Good Morning Night Vale, with new episodes every other Thursday. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, even there.